everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Ponycast. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with talented writer Belinda Lloyd from Lloyd Equestrian. We'll be hearing about Belinda's remarkable journey, starting from her time at Pony Club and discovering more about jumping equitation. Welcome, Belinda, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Renee. I'm excited to be here, and I must say it's an honour for the Pony Club to have me on today, so thank you.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you first got started with horses and your time in Pony Club?
Sure. So I do come from a horsey family. Both my parents rode. I started riding before I could walk. And I started Pony Club, I believe, about 4 years old. I started in Canamble Pony Club and then moved to Rawsonville when I was about 12. So I stayed within Zone 4. And yeah, went up through the ranks. I did everything there is in Pony Club. I focused mainly on eventing and show jumping. And then when I was probably about 13, I think I bought my first off the track thoroughbred myself with my own money that I had saved up. And it was pretty wild. Took me a few years for us to get to know each other, but we came up through the ranks representing New South Wales in a lot of the Australian competitions and things like that, and then actually went on to World Cup that horse as well. So it was a really lovely journey for us to go from, you know, starting from to get the bottom together and getting right to the top. And then I also jumped him in jumping equitation competitions when I started in my teenage years.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Very exciting.
Yeah, so thank
you. Exciting journey through Pony Club. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with jumping equitation and what it is?
Yeah, sure. So jumping equitation focuses on the style of the horse and the rider more than just the faults and the time that you would find in a normal jumping competition. So you do have a judge, a little bit like, I guess, a dressage test in that way, in that there normally is a test. So you'll have that test. It involves a course. You may be asked to do certain things within that course, such as show a certain number of strides between fences. You might also be asked to show something on the flat between the fences, such as ride a circle. It could be trot a fence. It always involves your position over the fence, between the fences, and yeah, the smoothness and regularity of the horse and rider around the course. So my first experience with jumping equitation, like I said, was probably when I was a early teenager. And jumping equitation was always part of the show jumping championships at Pony Club. So we did those. And back in those days, I'm thinking that you actually had to ride the same horse. I think it's a little different now. You can ride a different horse than the show jumping, but you had to ride the same horse, which, as I said, my horse Barney was a little bit wild. So it took us a little while to get together in the beginning, because he probably wasn't the best jumping equitation horse to begin with, a little bit hot and that kind of thing. But we did get together and we went through that way. And so also they have a jumping equitation competition at Sydney Royal, and I used to compete in the juniors and in the Pony Club competition at Sydney Royal. So the top 10 riders, yeah, in the jumping equitation competition that they had there, was given a week's free tuition with the top coaches at the time, which was Colin Brook and George Sanner. I'm trying to think, maybe Vicky Roycroft was involved as well. So that was fabulous for me. Colleen was already my coach. She used to come down regularly from Sydney to Dubbo. And so I did know Colleen, which was lucky for me. But it really, having that, solid week training and really learning a lot more about developing our position, developing our style, being a more effective rider, really made a difference to our riding, not just with jumping equitation, but with show jumping in general. And I employ a lot of those techniques in my coaching today.
Yeah, wow, that's really interesting. And is that how you first got involved in jumping equitation?
Yes, I mean, like I said, we those competitions would be run normally side by side with the show jumping. So we did it that way. I know when I lived in Sydney, actually working for Colleen after I finished high school, they did have an equitation club there in Sydney, and I also used to go to that, and that would just be jumping equitation. Yeah, but Colleen is especially a very good she has a very good grasp of jumping equitation, and she taught me a lot and really got me to focus on that with my riding. So that was really my introduction to jumping equitation and that kind of thing.
And how do you approach training horses and riders for jumping equitation?
Well, so we need to, as I mentioned before, it's the style of the horse and the rider. So really I begin a lot with working on the rider's position and getting them to be an effective rider through their position to begin with. It helps to have a horse that is rideable and has a trainable kind of a nature. But having said that, I've worked with all manner of horse and riders, all shapes and sizes, breeds, ages, heights, all of that kind of thing. So obviously with your training program, you just have to, you know, make it suit for what they need. But I would start with getting a solid foundation in the position for the rider, and then working on the horse's rideability and smoothness through various exercises.
And what are some of those exercises that you would take your riders through for that training process?
So as everyone would know, you know, dressage for jumpers is very important. So having a horse that accepts the aids and is adjustable, so obviously they can go forward, come back, they listen to their rider without getting out of a nice round shape too easily. And so there would be plenty of work on the flat involving lateral work, lots of transitions, lots of lengthening and shortening. That's when pole work comes in as well. There's a lot you can do with poles, and that helps the rider to know where they are, because it's one thing to lengthen and shorten on the flat, but then once you put poles in, then you know whether you're really, really getting it, really getting the horse to shorten up, or if you're only just half getting there. So, you know, the exercises where you just have two poles, and it's quite a common exercise, two poles on the ground, however many strides apart, and then you ride the normal strides, and then you have a go at adding strides and then taking strides away. And you try and make the horse be as smooth and keep the same rhythm and the same length of stride between those two poles. So that's a start. And then, you know, we have Cavalletti, we have gymnastics, we work on bending lines, we work on transitions. Like I said, a very common test in the jumping equitation arena would be trotting a fence. So that is certainly something that jumping equitation riders need to work on, is having their horse being able to trot into a fence and calmly jump it without cantering in front of it, which can be quite difficult if you haven't practiced it before. And also things like counter canter, flying change, that could be maybe a bit more advanced for the more advanced riders. There may be a test for flying changes in there. Simple changes probably would very well be in a test, you would find.
That's some really great information there, especially for those jumping riders that don't like to train on the flat.
Yes, so. It's hard. I mean, yeah, of course, we would all love to jump all day, every day, but as we all know, it's not good for the horse's legs to do that. That's why poles are so good, because you can practice your eye, get your eye in and practice those things without ruining the horse's legs. You can do that every day. It's no problem. But yes, as jumping equitation riders and jumping riders, it's a very good idea to work on the flat and get your horse on the aids, you know, get them used to used to being on the aids and the rider just getting more in tune with the horse. You know, the horse, you really need to get to know your horse well, and that takes time. So you can't rush these things. It's like any kind of friendship that you might have with humans. It takes time to work that out, and you just have to be patient.
Yeah, definitely. And what do you think is the biggest challenge facing jumping equitation riders and coaches today?
One of the biggest challenges, I think, is probably that there aren't enough jumping equitation competitions to go, because, yes, you can train at home and do all those kind of things and know what you should be doing. But it is good. It is a very good tool to be able to test yourself out. And I find that there's probably not enough competitions. So I would probably like to see some more across the whole state and the whole country would be good. I don't think it would be too difficult, I guess, to run something in conjunction, not just at, you know, state championships or something, but at the local level, at the local and regional levels as well. It would be good. And it's a great introduction to show jumping, really, for the younger age groups and the beginner riders. I mentioned to you before, you know, America has a great system in that all the kids, they all start in hunters and equitation over there. You don't go into the jumpers until the coach says you're ready. And we are getting a little bit more like that in Australia, where a lot of people do have coaches, like a regular coach that I will see every week, which is great to see. But it would be good to have, you know, that really good foundation that riders know exactly how their style should be and be effective riders before they move into the jumping ranks, and they're riding at a lot faster pace and things like that. So that's where it would be, I guess. And then other challenges, I mean, really, if you're as an individual rider, if you're finding challenges that you have with your riding, then there are lots of coaches around, qualified coaches around, luckily, in our country these days. So you find someone and go and get some help. You know, that's the best way, instead of struggling along on your own. We're also lucky in this digital age that there are so many good videos online of really good top international trainers that you can also get many of them for free on YouTube and things like that. So yeah, we're a lot luckier these days than when I was a kid. You know, I do remember watching VHS tapes of a lot of the top trainers when I was a kid, and reading a lot of books and getting exercises out of the books. But yeah, now it's at your fingertips on your phone, on your computer. So it's pretty easy.
Yep. TikTok. All the kids love TikTok these days.
They probably love making TikTok videos of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And what do you think are some of the most common mistakes made by jumping equitation riders, and how can they be avoided?
I think a common mistake is that they are not well prepared enough. I think they underestimate at a competition. I think riders probably underestimate their preparation, and also the behavior of their horse's preparation. So they think, oh, you know, he was so good this week at home, he'll be fine. And then they go out there and the atmosphere kind of overloads the horse a little bit, and they're just not ready. So in that manner, I would say, you know, if you are a bit unsure, then it is best to, it's always best to have a schedule for a competition where you're going. Make sure you give yourself lots and lots of time, because it's so much better than not having enough time. If it allows, I always would like to get on the horse very early, well before the class, and see how they are, and see how much you might have to do. And if they are quite full of themselves, or they need a little bit extra or something, then you give yourself time to do that. Because obviously, if you get on just before your event and you start and you think, oh wow, he's not quite listening enough, then you've run out of time. So and the only way to get to know these things is just to keep going out and doing them, have a goal, have a plan, And then if you obviously you want to meet your goal, and your goal really shouldn't be, you know, in my opinion, like results based, where I got to win that class or something like that. I think you need to make the goals individual. So I would like my horse to, you know, do all the numbered strides between those fences and ride a nice smooth round and see all of my distances, or, you know, something like that would be, they would be good goals for jumping equitation riders to have, rather than making it about winning a ribbon or anything like that. Like those kind of things are the cream on top.
Yeah, growth goals. Always,
that's
always,
right.
Always grow. Always great to have. And how do you approach designing and setting up a jumping course for training versus competition?
Well, you need to take into account the horse and rider that you have, the level that they're at, whether they're, you know, beginner, intermediate or advanced riders, and the style of the horse. Some horses need grids to tidy up their style a little bit, whereas other horses, the grids may just light them up a little bit, and you know, it might not be so suitable, so you might have to come up with something else. So I really try to make it an individual plan for the horse and rider. And yeah, you break down what you think you might need for the competition. So I would always start with some flat work and getting the horse listening and supple and over poles and things like that. Poles are just so good for so many things, not just for the horse but for the rider as well, especially getting the rider confident and ready to move on to whatever fences they can move on to. And then yeah, there's lots of different exercises that you can do with Cavaletti and little short jumping courses and things like that. I would probably in training work on, you know, definitely some shortening between fences, some, you know, some longer lines as well, and getting, making sure that the horse and rider are smooth, riding a little bit on a longer stride. And then also you're working on some turns, making it smooth. Like I said, keeping the horse on the aids between your head and your leg without getting too out of shape, and keeping everything nice and smooth while making sure that the horse is, the rider's position is where you want it to be. So there's a lot of working parts, a lot of moving parts in the overall picture, which obviously you have to break down into pieces and work on one at a time.
Yep. Lots of use of your training aids as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's many, many, which I think that you're going to put some of these in print. But yeah, like I said, you can find lots of them online. I like the simple exercise. I like the jumps on a circle. I like jumps on a curve. I love bounces. I use bounces a lot. Yeah, those kind of things.
Yeah, perfect. And how do you develop a rider's ability to read a course and make decisions quickly during a jumping competition?
It's really comes down to practice. I mean, you've got to get out there and have a go. And again, it depends on what level you're at that time. So beginner riders, you know, you would just be focusing on getting them out there and staying calm, having a go, and teaching them how to walk a course, how to count the number of strides, how to walk a normal horse's stride, how many of their steps that is. Different horses have different strides, so you know, ponies obviously have a different length stride than horses, so that also comes into account, which you know, you often find riders aren't aware of that at the beginning stages. So it's good to help them figure out how long their horse's stride might be and help them with walking a course according to their horse. And I often work with my riders on rhythm. And just keeping that good canter rhythm, which is quite hard to do because, you know, a lot of us, we kind of just canter around with nothing in our mind, and thinking of other things. So I have a few techniques that I use with my students to help them stay on a rhythm and stay calm and yeah, find the jumps, find the distances to the jumps and stay relaxed and calm. And then after it, it's really good, I find, if my students can, you know, have a little debrief of the round and talk about what went well, what didn't go so well, and how we might approach that in the future. So, you know, a lot of other people said, I've heard another saying before, is like, if you're not winning, you're learning. So, and also when you're winning, you're learning as well. So there's always something to learn from every time that you ride. And so you just put it into learning and thinking what you can strengthen for the next time, whilst also taking away the good parts of your round and stay as positive as you can, because, you know, the mindset is a very important thing for everybody in any sport. So the way that you handle all that, the way you handle your emotions especially, is very important, which is difficult for young people to do. And I know that because I was a young person once. So learning how to regulate your emotions while you're riding and all around the horses all the time is a very important thing to do.
Yeah, keep calm and carry on.
Absolutely.
Yep. And what do you think are some of the most important factors to consider when selecting a horse for jumping equitation?
So for a jumping equitation horse, I would probably like to look for a horse that has a good standard canter, a good rhythm in the canter, a standard jumping, a non-jumping stride of approximately 12 feet. That would make it the most helpful for the courses that we see today. But jumping equitation horses come in all shapes and sizes, so I would never turn away somebody who had something that didn't fit that mold. And I would encourage everybody to have a go, because every horse and rider can benefit from jumping equitation. Having said that, it probably is a little easier with a horse that is quite rideable, has a good temperament, stays calm in the canter, stays calm over the jumps, will listen to the rider's aids. But again, all those things are part of training. So horses get better and better the more you work on them with those riding on the flat and over small poles, cavalettis, the small exercises, that until they get better, you get to know each other better. So that would probably be a good place to start. The horse, like I said, it's a style competition, so you want the horse to be as calm and look like they know exactly what you mean all the way around. So that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, great advice. Can you share with us any particular memorable moments in your career as a jumping equitation rider or coach?
Yes, I mean, as mentioned before, I think being a part of the team that was selected to have the week training with Colleen and George and Vicky was very important to me, and that have happened a few years in a row. So that was really important to me, and especially as a country rider, you know, we didn't often get to go to Sydney for competitions, and of course it was always a big deal. And to be selected in that when I wasn't a city rider was very special to me. And I'm always happy when the students that I've been coaching over the last 20 years go in a jumping equitation round and just have a fabulous round. I mean, yes, it's wonderful to win, and I have had plenty of students that have won some great jumping equitation competitions, especially at Sydney Royal and other championships, but I get just as much of a buzz out of the ones starting out that, you know, they nailed the line, they got exactly the right strides, the horse landed on the correct lead, they did a really nice workout, and they rode really nicely, everything was smooth. I get a really big kick out of that as well. So, anybody who makes, you know, get some goals and they go out there, they have a go and they achieve their goals, I'm always really proud of.
Oh, that's so lovely. And what's one piece of advice do you have for aspiring jumping equitation riders?
Be patient. Keep going out there. Listen to your horse. You're always learning, and yeah, just ride the horse you have today. It happens to a lot of us. I know, you know, your horse would be going really well one day and then you come out the next day and maybe you're having a lesson and you're, oh, you know, it wasn't like this yesterday, something wrong. It's like, oh, well, he is. It's just, you've just got to ride the horse that you're on today, do the best that you can, try and understand what the horse is trying to tell you, what he needs. And so then you just have to shape your training schedule for that. So, you know, horses are individuals just like us, and they, who knows what happened to them that morning? You don't know. And so you're dealing with their emotions as well. So you being the rider, you need to keep your emotions in check and just figure out the best way to get there. It's normally with starting with something calm until they get to the point where they can, you know, have a big breath out and a lick and a chew and be like, okay, now I'm feeling a bit better about it, instead of pushing on with your own agenda when they're not quite ready.
Yeah, so, great advice. Yep.
Yeah.
And so
listen,
what's next? Yeah, yeah, exactly. What's next for you, Belinda? What have you got on the agenda coming up?
So I haven't been doing a whole lot of riding, I will admit. I have three young children under six, but I do a lot of coaching, which I love. And I have quite a few young horses, which I've really been excited over the last 10 years. I've had just a very small breeding program. I've been breeding a few of my own, and I have some exciting young ones coming up, a couple by Big Star that, yeah, I was really keen to breed them. But I have some others that I'm riding at the moment as well. So hopefully I'll be able to get them out and about, get to some shows, and yeah, go and learn a bit more too. I love watching big events. So if I can get to some big events somewhere in Australia, whether I'm riding or not, I always love watching that, walking the course, watching the warm up, watching what horses going around. Yeah, it's in my blood.
That sounds so exciting. Young ones, yeah, coming up. You. I love a young horse.
Yeah. Yeah. I do, as long as they're not bucking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, that's part and parcel of young horses. Again, you know, I do a lot of groundwork with them. So I'm always in there getting to know them, let them get to know me, and getting them ready for work as a jumping equitation horse, all of those kind of things.
Yeah, always the most important part of the training, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you for your time today, Belinda, and we really appreciate you supporting Pony Club New South Wales and sharing this information with us.
My pleasure. I've always loved my time in Pony Club, and I wish everybody else the very best in their careers in Pony Club and beyond.
Awesome. Thank you. And we've got our Jumping Equitation Championships coming up at the end of October this year, along with our show jumping, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody there. Thanks, Belinda.
Wonderful. Thanks, Renee. Bye. Yeah.